On the podcast today, we are going to dissect chapter 35 of the Tao Te Ching. And as usual, Guyang will read Jia Fufeng and Jane English's translation, and I will read Derek Lin's translation.
Everyone is drawn to those who keep to the One, for there lie rest and happiness and peace. Passerby may stop for music and good food, but it is not possible to describe the Tao. Without substance or flavor, it cannot be seen, it cannot be heard, and yet it cannot be exhausted.
Hold the great image. All under heaven will come. They will come without harm, in harmonious peace. Music and food, passing travelers stop. The Tao that is spoken out of the mouth is bland and without flavor. Look at it, it cannot be seen. Listen to it, it cannot be heard. Use it, it cannot be exhausted. So the essence of this chapter is about the simplicity and ordinariness of the Tao, and how that is a magnetism that attracts other people and guides your own path in life, your own journey in life.
Yes, this chapter is kind of explaining the characteristics of the Tao and actually paradoxically how powerful it is.
Yes.
Right? That's the very first line. It says everyone is drawn to those who keep to the One.
Hmm.
One here is Tao, you know. Hmm. So that attracts a lot of people, which, I mean, the people who have this power of the Tao or sometimes seen as like charismatic people, right?
Mm.
So that people are attracted to it because of that, the power that these people possess, right?
Yep.
And again, for those, for their lie rest and happiness and peace. So the people who follow the Tao, the nature of the Tao, then they possess that power. It emanates the happiness and the peace.
Yeah, I've heard Edward Sutherland talk about de in the sense of charismatic power. Now, de can be translated as virtue. And to explain de, we need to use the river analogy. So when we're fighting the river or when we're holding onto the banks of the river, you know, if we're fighting the current, we will drown. If we're holding onto the banks of the river out of fear, then we cannot allow the river's power to become our power. And so when we let go and we stop fighting the current, then that's what de is. And so charisma in some sense is about those who are at complete ease in their own life. So someone who is at complete ease often attracts a lot of people because they are confident in some sense and they're not worried or fearful about the future or uncertain about the uncertainty of life. And so that attracts a lot of people to them. And often those who have de are often a sage,
yes,
right? A sagely figure like Zhuangzi or Lao Tzu that attracts people to them. Or, you know, we could use modern day sages or sages from the 20th century like Sri Ramana Maharshi, who in following the path of simplicity and ordinariness and humility attracted a lot of people to him naturally without him advertising about it.
Exactly. We often find ourselves in our lives that we, a lot of the times, are becoming the obstacles of our own path, right?
Mm-hmm.
So following the Tao itself is not to be that way, not ourselves getting away from our own way, if that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, the power in the following the Tao is, again, being following the simplicity and the ordinariness of the Tao,
mm-hmm,
paradoxically, because when we see like a great sage, like as you mentioned, the Sri Ramana Maharshi or the great sages of in our history, often seem to be like extraordinary, right? Like that's why a lot of people are drawn towards those people. But again, ironically, those people who possess that sort of like an invisible authority and power are often, not often, actually always the way that they, because they follow the ordinariness of that sacred power,
yeah,
of the Tao, basically.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to understand. We often get lost of seeing these people's, like, you know, like extraordinary energy or power, and they think it's there's something like something amazing to it, right? Something impressive to it. But actually, it's quite the opposite, isn't it? Like, or most of time, that when someone find the greatness in simplicity and the ordinariness, that becomes your power.
Exactly. So those people, those sages, usually have let go of trying to control things in their life. They're not forcing things to happen. And so life has a certain way for them then. This is, again, the art of synchronicity, right? Where, as Joseph Campbell said, the universe has opened doors for you where there were only walls. And it's only because they have let go. That's why. That's the reason. And a lot of people haven't let go, so they try to control things in their life, and then nothing happens for them, right? And so it's in letting go that the Tao kind of assists you in your path. And it's a metaphysical aspect, right? Like, a lot of people will probably hear this who are in the material world and meat and potatoes type of people. They probably won't understand that concept. But when you start to let go and you follow the ordinary and you just sort of follow the way life is panning out for you, you'll start to notice things in your life that happen of their own accord.
Yes.
That wouldn't have ordinarily happened for you, usually, if you were trying to control your life in a certain way. And so it's only in letting go that that happens. And again, it's not in being flashy, it's in being simple and plain and humble that the Tao moves to those low places in air quotes, right? And that's the water analogy, where the water always travels to the lowest places, but is paradoxically the most powerful force. And that's what simplicity, ordinariness, and humility are. They're that paradoxical force and power that a sage possesses, or someone who is just following the way possesses.
It's all about recognizing the beauty within the plainness, right? In a sense that to say the river always follow from the high to low places, and people take it as like, yes, of course that's how it is. But do you really see the beauty within it? Can you follow that law of nature, law of universe, law of the Tao, right? Do you have the courage to be away from your own way, basically? Instead of you trying to swim against the current of the river, can you really let go of like all the thoughts and the greed and desire and just to go with the flow of water? Can you really do that? That's kind of a challenge sometimes, right?
Well, temptations, again, is a big part of this chapter. Like, they use music and food, right, as an aspect of temptation. And so we are all travelers in life, right? We're all on the journey. And then some of us get caught in the temptations of life, desires and so forth. And then we become stuck and then out of sync with the way. Whereas, as Lao Tzu says, if you live a life of moderation, it doesn't mean you don't engage in music or food. Obviously, you need to eat. But you're not consumed by those desires. And there's an analogy in India where a person on the journey is climbing the mountain, right? They're climbing the mountain because they know that they have to reach Brahman, so the ultimate reality. And on the path, they're going up the mountain. And then it's a beautiful mountain, right? And so then they notice some people have set up shops and that. And so then they end up setting up a chai shop. And then they see other people climbing the mountain, other people stop for chai. It's good business, you know. And then years and years and decades go by, and then that person forgot why they were going up the mountain in the first place. They had forgot. And that's how a lot of us are in life. We get attracted to the temptations of life, and then we wonder, like, what actually, on reflection when we get older, we wonder, what was the purpose of this life in the first place? I consumed myself with so many temptations and desires, but is that really what life is about? And they forgot what life is about. And on the Eastern spiritual path, it's always about remembering that it's all about that ultimate reality. As it says in the first lines of this, right? Those who have got their mind on the Tao attract people and are unobstructed on their path in life. Sure, there will be obstacles, but the obstacles aren't so bad as other people who are trying to force life into a certain box. When you have no box and you're just going up the mountain.
I mean, for to follow your analogy, like to set up a tea shop down the bottom or middle of the track, and like, it's too good, isn't it? Like, and you serve delicious tea to people, and you're having great time with the customers and whatnot, and you totally forgot about why you were there in the first place. And we find ourselves in the situation like that a lot too, right? That you start something to achieve some great dream that you had. And just like climbing the mountain, at times it's you come across some challenging time and gets a bit more difficult. So I take a rest for a little bit, and you know, then you get sidetracked and you totally forgot about what you started with from the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, we get lazy sometimes, and we need to kind of remind ourselves actually that, again, that's the beginner's mind, isn't it? In the Zen Buddhism talks about how important to have a beginner's mind. So keep things fresh. You always need to remind yourself why you started the journey.
Yeah, you need to live with that intent to keep your mind on the ultimate. And you and I, we often speak about that, right? And that's how we live our life. Like, no matter where we go, we will start our day with that intent towards the ultimate, because that sets your day in motion. I know a lot of people in the modern day talk about, you know, the first thing you got to do is you go for a run or drink salt water or whatnot. The first thing you need to do, well, have a drink of water first, brush your teeth, you know, the usual things. But the main thing you need to do first is have intent towards the ultimate.
Yes.
Otherwise, your mind can run here and there. And as we see with modern life, because of a lot of the world becoming increasingly affluent, the more affluent the countries become, often spirituality becomes something in the distance.
Yes.
That only the strange people, like those listening and watching the podcast and you and I, are into, right? But that's what happens. So in the old days, and we're talking the ancient times here, and actually not so long ago in the East, only a couple of hundred years ago, when either the man or woman in a family, or if they were single or whatever, would get too drawn into the temptations of life, that was when other people would recommend them to go on sadhana. Mm. Sadhana here means disciplined, dedicated spiritual practice for a certain period of time. And so they would then go away from the society, maybe for a week or 21 days or what have you, and meditate and this and that, and then ground themselves back in the ultimate. And then they would come back into society, and they wouldn't then have those attractions towards temptations. And so, unfortunately, in the East these days, is that's become an afterthought. So those who are spiritually inclined would understand that. They would understand when it's time for them to go on sadhana. If they've been too engaged in frivolous things, then it's time to move away from those habits, to retrain themselves and reorient their awareness back and towards the ultimate.
Yes. And like Alan Watts once said about life as an art, form of art, right? So whatever we do is representation of who we are, right? So someone is good at playing music, or someone else is good at science, or so on. And the product that each individuals create is the reflection of that human being, and great representation of that human being, which often beautiful, often not as beautiful and whatnot. But at the end of the day, our ultimate is the same. So that's something that we need to remind ourselves all the time. Again, that intent that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Understanding that each individual's life is a representation of ourselves as a form of art. We are, as an artist in our own lives. In saying that, the art itself is going to all the same source. Came from the same source. And it looks 10,000 different looks, has 10,000 faces. But in the end, it all goes back. It all go back to the same source. That's something that we need to remind ourselves. We often get lost in temptations and desires, and we lose ourselves a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
And we get lazy as in our spiritual practice, spiritual discipline. We get lazy and we forget again the meaning of our existence, really. So it is very important to remind ourselves that where we are going.
You need to make your life a masterpiece, is what Alan was referring to as well. Is we need to make it a masterpiece, and the way to make it a masterpiece is to understand the art of living. And that's what this chapter is talking about, the art of living. The art of living is through that simplicity, that ordinariness, the humility, and the letting go and allowing life to be as it will, as you were mentioning. And all of us are on the same path. To use the river analogy again, we're in a river right now, but we're going towards the source, the greater ocean.
Yes.
And we're all going that way. Mm. So, and to back onto the mountain metaphor, it's how we go down that river.
Yes.
So you can go clumsily down that river and do whatever you want, and you may not get to the greater source. You may crash onto the banks of the river and never get there.
Yes.
And it's those with the Tao in mind, always with that in the back of their mind, understanding the nature that oneness is the ultimate reality, you'll get to the river. I mean, you'll get to the greater ocean.
Yes.
And so that's the journey for all of us. No one is excluded from that journey. Yes. You're all going down the river whether you like it or not.
100%.
And so that's the essence of Taoism and the essence of this chapter, isn't it?
Yes. And I just wanted to mention the simplicity and ordinariness of the Tao, as in being a complete human being as well.
Mm.
Like often we, again, forget that intrinsic humanness within ourselves when you follow your own discipline, because you might be someone who are really extremely disciplinary, which is, I mean, far better than being not being disciplined.
Mm.
But we often forget how to be a real authentic human being.
Mm.
Like how when Sri Ramana Maharishi was alive, that he was always the last person to eat the meal. When it's a mealtime comes around, he always took care of the people that came to see him, and also disciples that he had around him. But he was the last one to be eaten, right?
Mm.
So that is to show how humble the being he was, and how extremely somewhat simple and ordinary human being he was.
Yeah.
So that's something that quality. The extremely great quality within being ordinary is also very important.
Exactly. The humanness of Taoism especially is at the forefront, because it's constantly trying to remind people that when you're at odds with your own humanity, then you're at odds with the Tao.
Yes.
So Taoism is not a system that tries to restrict or suppress any natural inclination within the person. It's constantly seeking balance, because yin and yang are naturally in balance, but human beings become out of balance because of socialization and conditioning. And then we believe then that, we need to control our life. We need to stand on the shoulders of others to get ahead. But that's not actually the way how nature of reality is.
Yes.
And so it's in following that simple path, as Ramana Maharshi did, and in following that humanness, that you actually have you have that charismatic power.
Yes, yes.
Because those who have charisma often are the kindest people, are the most humble people, and that attracts people, and then that's what a natural leader is, or in this age, a natural sage.
Yes.
Not in trying to levitate or attain magical powers, but in becoming radically human, as you mentioned. And so in becoming radically human, you tap into this power which is the Tao, this energy that's moving through everything. And it's unlimited, as this chapter alludes to.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And so you begin to then emulate the Tao.
Yes.
Because you are a aperture for the universe to express itself in.
Yeah, it cannot be exhausted. It's unlimited.
It's unlimited.
That force, that the prime source of energy is always unlimited, always available.
Yeah. And so in this one, it's speaking about you don't need to try and intellectualize what that Tao is, but you can feel it moving in your life.
Yes.
And so that's what this chapter is saying. And in following the simplicity and the ordinariness and the humility, then you will be that aperture for the universe to express itself, as I mentioned earlier. Yeah. So guys, we hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you next time.